Chapter 9. The Jewish people and their religious conflict. The second reason why Israel has become a source of world conflict in the last days, just like the Bible said, is not just because of the military conflict but also the religious conflict. You see, to make matters even worse for Israel, it just so happens that the world's three largest religions have headquarters, guess where? Jerusalem. Islam, Catholicism, and Judaism. This is why you can turn on your news almost every single day and what do you hear? Not just conflict in Jerusalem but religious conflict in Jerusalem, especially over the Temple Mount.
Palestinians call for a day of rage as they march down the street chanting to protest new security measures at one of the holiest sites in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount.
Israeli authorities say they are taking no chances. Smoke bombs are being sent out at the crowd as they are surrounding the Dome of the Rock. Gunshots are being fired as people are running to and fro.
The police are pushing the people back as they chant Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest.
Some are being taken away on stretchers. As the police are going inside the mosque, they are being met by rocks and fire bombs.
Gilad Erden, Israeli public security men, they used firearms inside the Temple Mount, violating the holiness of this important place. Israel's decision to continue to employ metal detectors at the entrances to the Al-Aqsa compound prompted Muslim leaders to urge worshippers to protest the decision. Violent demonstrations have broken out in East Jerusalem, leading Israeli police to fire live ammunition, tear gas, and rubber-coated bullets at Palestinians protesting against the security measures. Those tensions have spilled into neighboring Jordan, where thousands protested in the streets of Amman against the installation of metal detectors. Palestinians view the increased security measures as an infringement on the status quo at the holy site, which gives Muslims religious control over the compound and Jews the right to visit but not to pray there.
The holy site houses Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock Shrine, and the ruins of the biblical Jewish temple. Questions about control of the site frequently lead to violent clashes,
or what the Bible calls conflict. So, as you can see, having these three major world religions being headquartered in Jerusalem with all their differences, and all their different desires over the Temple Mount is adding to the ongoing conflict there, just like the Bible said. But many also believe that having all three of these major religions there is also setting the stage for the coming one world religion that the Bible warned would come on the scene in the seven-year tribulation. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Revelation 17:1-6. And verses 15-18. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute, who sits on many waters. With her the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw, where the prostitute sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked, they will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule, until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth."
We have a lot going on in this text. We see that the one world religion harlot will not only be drunk with the blood of the saints, speaking of those who get saved after the rapture of the church, but she's also working in conjunction with the Antichrist, controlling the religions of the world, and ruling over the kings of the earth, right? But at some point, it says that the Antichrist turns on her, God allows it as a form of punishment or judgment, and the Antichrist will destroy her. He apparently uses her until he gets what he wants, world domination. She's just a tool. At first, she rides him, seemingly in control, but later he grabs, controls, and kills her. Now I said all that to get to this. In order for this passage to be fulfilled, we need to see some sort of global religious identity working with the governments around the world, trying to control them, as well as promoting all the world's religions to come together as one under its control. Can I tell you something? That's exactly what the Vatican is doing right now. One of the places they want to set up shop is, guess where? In Jerusalem. Why? Because as we saw, it just so happens that the world's three largest religions have headquarters in Jerusalem, and reports are saying the Vatican wants to use that to set up a global religion there. Now, first of all, the Vatican is no friend of Israel. In fact, we saw that in World War II, if the Vatican had taken a stand against Nazism, then the outcome might have been quite different for the Jewish people. But they didn't. They had their chance to support the Jews, but they didn't. In fact, during the Holocaust under Pope Pius XII, the Vatican turned a deaf ear to the slaughter of the Jewish people. They've never been a friend to Israel. And believe it or not, the Vatican is no friend of Islam either, even though they currently feign it. They talk all the time about Palestinian support as seen here.
Thousands of pilgrims gather in St. Peter's Square Sunday to witness Pope Francis canonize four nuns, including two from what was 19th century Palestine. Among the onlookers was Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who was invited to a private meeting with the head of the Catholic Church Saturday. RumerReports.com, this affectionate meeting marks the beginning of the meeting between Pope Francis and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. They held a private 20-minute meeting to discuss the recent agreement, in which the Vatican recognized the Palestinian state. Also covered was the peace process with Israel and the conflicts ravaging the Middle East and the need to fight terrorism by promoting interfaith dialogue. Pope Francis gave Abbas a copy of Evangelic Idiom and an Angel of Peace medallion.
Pope Francis, I thought of you. You are an angel of peace. As they shake hands.
The Pope's de facto recognition of the Palestinian state builds on the Vatican support of Palestine in the United Nations, says Middle East analyst Sharif Nashashibi. He has made great efforts to build bridges and reach out across the Middle East. Israel has expressed disappointment at the Vatican's recognition of Palestine, but Palestinian pilgrims at the Vatican welcomed the move. But even while prayers for peace were offered at the Vatican, in Jerusalem, violence broke out between Israelis and Palestinians Sunday. Jewish nationalists commemorated Israel's 1967 capture of East Jerusalem with a march through the mainly Muslim quarter in the Old City. The violence followed events in the Palestinian territory last week to mark what they call Catastrophe, the founding of Israel in 1948. The Vatican joins 135 countries in recognizing Palestine as a state and lists the Pope's position as a spiritual leader of over a billion Catholics worldwide.
I'm here to tell you it's all a smokescreen. You call the Palestinian leader, who seeks to annihilate the Jews, an angel of peace, did you catch that? But I'm telling you, there's more going on here than meets the eye. I believe the evidence will show that the Vatican and the Catholic Church are chumming up with the Muslims and various world leaders, at various times, to get what they ultimately want, and that is total control of all religions on the planet in Jerusalem. It's all a PR campaign with the Pope chumming up to these guys, it's a smokescreen. But let me give you some of that proof from reading just some of the headlines out there.
Vatican representative in Israel declare that Jews are no longer the chosen people, and the Vatican says Israel's existence as a Jewish state has nothing to do with the Bible.
Excuse me? What Bible are you reading? That's the problem. It's not only flat out unbiblical to say that, but that doesn't sound like you have got Israel's best interests to me. But there's more. We cannot speak about the promised land for the Jewish people. The concept of the Promised Land cannot be used as a base for the justification of the return of Jews to Israel and the displacement of Palestinians. What? So now you're saying the Jewish people are not only not the chosen people of God, but now you're saying that they have no right to the land that they themselves received unconditionally from God. Who do you think you are, God? First of all, as we saw before, there are no real historical people called the Palestinians in the first place. That was made up by the Romans out of spite of the Jews. And two, the people wandering around over there are the leftover Arabs who got duped by their own Arab leaders and countries to leave their homes when they went to war against Israel and lost. They could take them in, they are their own people, it's their responsibility, but refuse to do so and are capitalizing on their own people's plight. And three, the Bible says God is the one who forever promised the Jewish people that land because it is his land to give away to them in the first place. It doesn't belong to Ishmael the Arabs, it belongs to Isaac the Jews. Then, as if that weren't enough, the Vatican even went so far as to denounced the Judaization of Jerusalem and attacked Israel for trying to transform it into an only Hebrew-Jewish city, excluding the other faiths. In other words, other religions should have it as well. Why? Because again, the Vatican wants all religions to be there, so they can control it all. That's their ultimate goal. Then if that still wasn't enough proof of their real intentions, the Vatican's Cardinal Jean-Louis Touraine, president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, interreligious means one world religion, declared that Israel must adopt an internationally recognized statute for that part of Jerusalem where the holy places of the three monotheistic religions are open to believers. In other words, you can't say it's just yours, it belongs to all religions. I'm telling you, this is why the Vatican sometimes even joins forces with Islam, as you saw before, to achieve this goal. That's why the Pope says he supports a Palestinian state. It's not because he or the Vatican cares about Islam, frankly they don't and never have. It's all a smokescreen. Let me show you the proof of that. Remember the Crusades? That didn't come from Christians, by the way, you don't need to defend that, that came from the Catholic Church. They did it to get control of Jerusalem. But, can you name a time in history when the Vatican sincerely endorsed the Muslim control of Jerusalem? Answer is no. Never. Including today. In fact, history is loaded with examples of the Vatican opposing, often violently, Muslim control of the Holy Land. Again, that's what the Crusades were all about. It was Pope Urban II, in 1095 AD, who was responsible for setting off the Crusades in the Middle Ages, and it was always about continued occupation of the holy places and above all getting Jerusalem. Therefore, the Muslims today are just a pawn in the Vatican's hand. Even in the Crusades, the Catholic Church showed they were no friend of Muslims or Jews. In the First Crusade alone, Catholic crusaders slaughtered some 70,000 Jews and Arabs in their goal to get Jerusalem from the so-called infidel, i.e. anybody who tries to control it other than the Catholic Church. The First Crusade was followed by another, and then another, each in an attempt to purge the Holy Land of Muslims, of course, and Jews as well. History is clear, folks, that the Vatican has never supported Muslim control of Jerusalem, let alone Jewish control. So, the question is, why are they seemingly doing it now? Well, again, I think it's all part of a smokescreen for this purpose. To get Islam to do the dirty work for them. Watch this current headline.
This year, the Pope and Turkish leader meet over Jerusalem. Recently, the Pope welcomed to the Vatican an Islamic world leader attempting to re-establish the caliphate. Pope Francis met with Turkish President Erdogan, and the future status of Jerusalem was high on the agenda. They called for an end to racism, xenophobia, Islamophobia, and discrimination. The meeting has been hailed as promising global peace.
Yeah. So why is the Vatican meeting the Muslim community? One guy states this.
There are two reasons the Catholic Church, for now, is making it appear it supports a Palestinian state and greater Muslim influence over Jerusalem. First, this effort undermines Israel's control over the city. When it comes to diminishing Israel's grip on Jerusalem and its holy sites, Catholic officials are happy to let the Muslims do the dirty work. Second, the Vatican's endorsement of Palestinian statehood provides ideal cover for their own ambition to wrest control of Jerusalem from the Jews themselves.
This is what the Vatican wants. Historically, they never have and never will let Islam gain control of Jerusalem, let alone the Jews. What they really want is control over Jerusalem to make it a site for a global religion. And they're tricking the Muslims into doing the dirty work for them. In fact, more headlines, the Vatican not only wants to lay its hands on Jerusalem, but they are demanding control of the religious sites in Jerusalem. And this is their goal. The Roman Catholic Church has been fighting for more than 450 years to win back control over the areas that were seized from them during the Ottoman Empire back in the 1500s, and their recent efforts are paying off because even as recent as 2006, Israel's then Prime Minister, Ehud Olmert, and Foreign Minister, Tzipi Livni, negotiated to give away the Holy Basin to the Vatican. You say, what's that? The Holy Basin is the area in Jerusalem that includes the Old City and its adjacent territories, and they want even more than that. The Vatican uses the expression Holy Basin to refer to the area of the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, Mount Zion, and a variety of other holy sites. And shocker, former President Bill Clinton recommended these areas be administered under a special regime. In other words, the Catholic Church. Obama's plan called for the Old City of Jerusalem to be designated an international zone. Open to all religions, but somebody's got to control it. I wonder who that will be? And don't forget, both of these presidents met with the Vatican. Gee, I wonder what they talked about? And believe it or not, it's even reported that Israel's former president Shimon Peres also agreed to hand over the sovereignty of the holy sites to the Vatican. The Vatican's tactics are slowly methodically paying off. They're gaining back control of Jerusalem for their one world religion. In fact, the plan was for the old city having an Israeli mayor and a Palestinian mayor, both under the orders of the Holy See. And lest you think that's not what they're after, look at this, more headlines. Peace negotiations in the Middle East must tackle the issue of the holy sites of Jerusalem because there will be no peace if the holy sites are not adequately resolved. In other words, you won't have peace in the Middle East until you give the Vatican control of these areas. They're the experts. They know how to bring peace to the planet, yeah right. This is coming, again, from the Vatican's Council for Interreligious Dialogue. The holy sites of the three religions is humanity's heritage. The sacred and unique character of the area must be safeguarded, and it can only be done with a special, internationally guaranteed statute. In other words, only the Vatican has the experience to do it right, just give us control. And they go on to say, before territorial problems are resolved, we have to assure that never again one party should claim Jerusalem as its possession. Again, give us control of Jerusalem and the holy sites and we'll bring peace to all this religious conflict. It's not right for just the Jewish people to have it. We need it for all religions, and we'll head it up for you. That's what's really going on, folks. It's a setup. The Vatican wants this ongoing religious conflict that we're seeing in the news every day so that out of this conflict they can rise up and be the savior of humanity, bringing in a so-called religious peace to the planet. With a new global religious headquarters in Jerusalem. They're tricking the world into getting what they really want. A one-world religion with them, the Vatican, at that top. In fact, some say, there might be another reason why the Vatican is so desperate to hurry up and get control over Jerusalem and the holy sites. It might be to cover up what could be found. This was interesting.
In January 2001, Israel TV journalists secretly filmed under the Shrine of Omar, the 7th-century Islamic building constructed over the Holy of Holies, the most sacred room of the ancient Jewish temple. The video revealed a new and massive tunnel aimed directly at the most sacred core of Solomon's and later, Herod's temples. During the Crusades in the early 12th century, it is reported that the Knights Templar dug under the ruins for 9 years and found a network of tunnels where the Jewish priests hid their treasures from the marauding Romans in 70 AD. It was also assumed that the original records of the Jerusalem Church, which prove that the Vatican was not practicing Christianity as its founders had intended, was buried in this spot. If these scrolls were made public, they would jeopardize Rome's legitimacy. Thus, it is imperative to the Vatican that the Jews be removed from the Temple Mount so that they don't find these important scrolls.
You know that they are not representing true Christianity and they are a religious sham. But be that as it may, the even bigger desire for the Vatican is they also need total control of Jerusalem and the holy sites, so they can perform their deceptive play for all the world to see in the last days. Jerusalem has to be the place for that play to take place. Check this out.
It can't be that the Vatican is only interested in access to the holy sites in Jerusalem. It's something else that the Vatican wants. The Roman Catholic Church needs to have certain versions of events be played out for them in order to stand in front of mankind and proclaim, "Our Messiah has returned." Of course, to the Jews, this Messiah will be a false Messiah, but that doesn't matter to the Vatican. They know this isn't the end of the story that the Jewish God had in mind, but what they're doing is engineering their own ending to the story. This is why, for centuries, they have attempted to obtain control of Jerusalem, which started with the Crusades. In order for them to convince the world that the Messiah they put on the world stage is going to be accepted as genuine, they need to perform this play in the Old City, in Jerusalem. The story of this production is that this Messiah will merge the three monotheistic religions, usher in peace and harmony in the world, and solve the Middle East conflict. The location for this production will be in none other than the Old City of Jerusalem. Then, this so-called Messiah will insist that by having a world government as well, then world peace and harmony will be ushered in. This will be a lie, and a fraud, but never mind. It's all part of the Vatican's plan. Israel will be pressured to accede to these demands by all world bodies and the superpowers on the claim that this is the only way to solve the Middle East conflict. And in order to get the Jews to go along, they will convince them that with this Messiah having appeared for the Jews, it is now time to start rebuilding the Third Temple. This is what the Vatican is after.
and this is why it is critical for the Vatican to control the entire Old City of Jerusalem and holy sites, because it is all needed for the play they have planned to be performed on the world stage.
In other words, they have to get control of this area to usher in a one-world religion, which is what they want, also promote a false messiah who controls the world's government. Which is exactly what Revelation 17 said. If they're going to internationalize Jerusalem and basically fake the millennial reign, then there is no place for the restoration of the nation of Israel in its theology, let alone the Jews maintaining control over Jerusalem. In order for the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church to convince the world the lie of their false messiah and one world religion, they have to get control of Jerusalem. You don't perform your play in New Jersey, it won't work in Moscow, Beijing or Sydney, Australia. It has to be Jerusalem. This is what's going on right now as we speak, and it's all adding to the major religious conflict over there, that God said would come in the last days. Now, for those of you who think this is just some wacky conspiracy theory I made up, where the Vatican is after a one-world religion, even controlling the governments of the world, here is their own commercial they've recently released, and you tell me that's not what they're up to.
The Pope is reading this declaration while we see leaders of different religions agreeing with what he is saying. Most of the planet's inhabitants declare themselves believers. This should lead to dialogue among religions. We should not stop praying for it and collaborating with those who think differently. A Buddhist says, "I have confidence in the Buddha." A rabbi says, "I believe in God." A priest says, "I believe in Jesus Christ." A Muslim says, "I believe in God, Allah." The Pope speaks again, "Many think differently, feel differently, seeking God or meeting God in different ways. In this crowd, in this range of religions, there is only one certainty we have for all: we are all children of God." Once again, the Buddhist says, "I believe in love." The rabbi says, "I believe in love." The priest says, "I believe in love." I hope you will spread my prayer request this month, that sincere dialogue among men and women of different faiths may produce the fruits of peace and justice. I have confidence in your prayers. We see all the different religions hugging in love, and then at the end of the commercial they all hold their hands out with a baby Jesus, Buddha, Catholic beads, and a Jewish menorah, a hope for one world religion.
Nope. Nope. They don't have any plans for a one world religion. That's just another wacky crone theory. Straight from the Vatican itself, folks. How do you get any clearer than that? And when you understand this ultimate goal, it starts to make sense why the Vatican, historically, has always been a promoter of replacement theology. For centuries, the Vatican has been pushing replacement theology, which states that the Catholic Church has replaced Israel as the new Israel. They are the new Jerusalem. They believe they are the rightful heir to the kingdom of God, not Israel. If Israel continues to control Jerusalem, then it obviously proves that the Catholic Church's claims are not correct and that the literal interpretation of the Bible is correct. And you can't have that if you're going to pull off a one-world religion. That's exactly what our text said a world religious identity would do in the last days with the Antichrist. The Vatican is the headquarters of all this. This is not make-believe, it's all happening right now. In fact, as we saw before, the Jews and Muslims are already falling for the ruse by the Vatican. Both parties are already calling for a United Nations of religions, where some global entity would control the world's religions, just like the United Nations controls all the world's government. Former King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia has been planning for years to find a way to unite the world's major religions in an effort to help foster peace, and believes a new international organization will help make that dream a reality. Chief Rabbi Yonah Metzger, one of the two chief rabbis of Israel, said, "We need a United Relations of Religions, which would contain representatives of the world's religions as opposed to nations. Uniting the world's faithful is key to world peace. We must promote a respect for the differences among various religions. A church, a mosque, a synagogue or a holy temple must be embassies of God, and we have to spread this idea to our believers." He has suggested that the Dalai Lama could lead the assembly. Muslim leader Adnan Oktar recently met with three representatives from the re-established Jewish Sanhedrin to discuss how religious Muslims, Jews and Christians can work together on rebuilding the temple. An official statement about the meeting has been published on the Sanhedrin's website. "We are all the sons of one father, the descendants of Adam, and all humanity is but a single family. Peace among nations will be achieved through building the house of God, where all peoples will serve." Oktar added that the temple will be rebuilt and all believers will worship there in tranquility. And the temple could be rebuilt in 1 year. Shimon Peres, Former President of Israel even more recently just met with Pope Francis to discuss the idea of creating a UN-like organization that he called the United Religions to bring an end to the wars raging in the Middle East and around the world. World Trade Center. Even here in America, the Pope visited Ground Zero at the World Trade Center, and the US media used it as an opportunity to promote a one world religion.
The Pope recently visited Ground Zero and recited the following: "On this hallowed ground, the scene of unspeakable violence and pain. Behind him there are seated a Jew, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a native Indian, a Christian, and many more different religions. When he is finished speaking, another one stands up to speak in their native tongue. The interpreter translates what the lady from India is saying. May God nourish us, may we work together. The next one to speak is a Buddhist monk. He also speaks in his native tongue. Translated, he is saying, victory begets enmity, the defeated dwell in pain. The next to take the stage is a Hindu priest, and what he says is, truth is above everything and the highest deed is truthful living. The next one to speak is a Catholic priest, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, blessed are those who mourn. Another gets up to speak, grant us to live with the salutation of peace and lead us to your abode of peace. Now the Jewish rabbi speaks, but it is more like a song with no translation. But a choir then comes on stage and sings, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me.
Up, let's build this one world religion on the planet. Let it begin with me so we can have peace on earth to end all this conflict and violence, and oh yeah, let the Pope and the Vatican run the whole show. Looks like people are falling for the Vatican's deceptive play right before our very eyes, even here in America. In fact, this is the very play that the New Age movement also wants, and they too think it's a good thing. Let's see how they perceive things playing out in the last days. First of all, they believe that what is coming, and they're expecting it very soon, is what's called the New Jerusalem Covenant. Sound familiar? Daniel says the Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years, which is the very event that starts the 7-year tribulation, the final week of Daniel's 70th week prophecy. But sometime soon, they believe, the following scenario will unfold, depending only on the right set of circumstances. Muslim and Jewish areas in Jerusalem will be combined with Christian/Catholic to create the New Jerusalem Covenant. The Pope will visit the combined Jewish/Christian/Muslim sector of Jerusalem to announce that all religions should be combined into one. This action will then finally break the Middle East logjam. All religions will convene to celebrate three religious festivals simultaneously. 1. Festival of Goodwill, normally in May to June. 2. Festival of Easter, normally in April, celebrates new birth, as exemplified by the Christ, Jesus Christ, to Christians. 3. Festival of Wesak, normally in March, celebrates birth of the Buddha. This celebration of these three combined festivals will create the New World Order religion and will be the spiritual equivalent of the political United Nations. Then, when the religious communities of the world are thus merged, political governments will simultaneously hold the following political/business conferences. 1. Planetary Goodwill Congress. 2. Planetary Human Resource and Disarmament Congress. 3. Planetary Environmental Resource and Space Congress. Thus, when the three religious conferences and the three political/business conferences are simultaneously held, a grand merger of all forces will occur worldwide that will move the world in any desired direction. Then, and only then, will it be possible to build a combination temple/church/mosque in Jerusalem. Any permanent solution to the Middle East conflict would also have to see the religious portion of the problem solved. Once this religious problem is solved, then the power and influence of the Orthodox Jews in Israel would permanently decline. They also believe that there will be three types of people on the planet as these events form and take shape. 1. Those whose consciousness have been properly raised so they can readily accept Him. 2. Those whose consciousness have been raised somewhat but not so high that they can readily and immediately accept Him, but they might be able to accept Him after further enlightenment. 3. Those who will never accept Him. So, what happens to those who will never accept Him? The persons of group number 3 will elect to leave for another room. They do not commit suicide, they will simply leave this dimension. As one guy states, I would not be surprised if this group is actually writing the peace treaty/covenant which the Antichrist will sign with Israel at the proper time. This would then directly fulfill Daniel's prophecy of 9:27.
Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. In the middle of the 7 he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and in a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him.
In other words, he's going to lose. And lest you think this ruse of the Antichrist and false prophet is nowhere near close to being pulled off, creating a global religion and bringing a so-called peace to the Middle East religious conflict, then you might want to read this transcript of a video with the various world religions saying we all need to be friends with guess who at the top.
The world's most prominent religious leaders call on everyone to make friends across religions. Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, we are called, as we like to say, to look into one another's eyes in order to see more deeply and in order to recognize the beauty of God in every living human being. Ayatollah Sayyid Fadel al-Milani, our advice is to make friends to followers of all religions. Pope Francis, it's very important, because my religious life became richer with his explanations, so much richer. And I guess the same happened for him. Rabbi Abraham Skorka, it was through our religious calling that we found each other in life. By Sahib Mahinder Singh, no matter from which side of the mountain you're climbing, we should be helping each other. So that we can get all to the same place. So, there is need for people to make friends. Grand Mufti Shawki Alam, and don't focus on or search for differences between religious groups. HH the Dalai Lama, personal contact, personal friendship, then we can exchange a deeper level of experience. Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, honor other religions like you do your own. Ayatollah Sayyid Hassan al-Kazwini, we need to get together and know one another. Just to discover and explore those commonalities. Archbishop Ancha Jacqueline, that starts a process where prejudices go away, where new insights are born and where basically hope is born. Archbishop Justin Welby, it's not complicated. I would say to everyone, start with sharing what we all share, which is the pleasure of conversation. Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, one of the wonderful things about spending time with people completely unlike you is you discover how much you have in common. The same fears, the same hopes, the same concerns. Ven.Khandra Rinpoche, I think I'll keep it very simple, it's probably time to talk less, listen more. Mata Amritanandamayi, Amar, may universal friendship become a reality.
As well as a universal one-world religion with the Vatican and Pope at the top. But all this is going on right now, while we're all concerned about the economy and who won what game and not just the satanic New Age movement, but even the Vatican is promoting this satanic play or last day scenario that they are going to foist upon the whole world in Jerusalem. They have to gain control of Jerusalem to make it all work. This is why you can turn on the news and read in all the newspapers of how Israel has indeed become what? An international global problem. It has become a center of world conflict, a religious conflict. Exactly like the Bible said would happen. When? In the last days. This is why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning the Jewish people and the Antichrist to show us that the 7-year tribulation is near, and the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. That's why Jesus himself said.
Luke 21:28 When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising all around us. It's time to wake up. This is the point. If you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. You don't want to be here when God pours out his judgment upon this planet. It's the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. The only way to escape is through Jesus. Take the way out now before it's too late. Get saved today. But if you're reading this today and you're a Christian, then it's high time we stop goofing off and getting distracted with this world. Let's get busy working together sharing the gospel with as many as we can. Let's leave here living for Jesus and longing for his soon return. Amen?